Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Connection Podcast. This is Javier.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are so glad to be with you. It is a sunny and beautiful day where we are in Florida today. I know that many people around the country are dealing with cold winter weather. Some people have ice on the roads, and it's actually pretty heavy, snow and sleet and rain. So we're praying for you if you are out in those elements and having to do your work there. We're praying for you. We are hoping for the best. We know that many of our friends, like in Dallas and Texas, North Texas area specifically, we're praying for you guys. We know it's chilly there, but we hope you're safe and taken care of. We wanted to continue our conversation. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about generosity and purpose. What that means in our life, what it looks like, what it adds to our life, and what we're adding to others. We want to talk a little bit more about generosity and the impact that it has on our life and the life of others. We know that generosity has the power not to just transform us as the giver, but also any recipients, anybody in our community, any sort of person on the receiving end of any amount of generosity, any act of kindness. We realize that it has the power to transform us as the giver too. We talked about that a little bit in some of the other episodes, but I know that Danielle, that's something that I've seen in our life. Mm-hmm. The times in which we've been able to be generous, whether through Connect Global publicly and very sort of specifically, or in times in which we've been able to give to people who, you know, nobody will ever know about. And yeah. It's in those times, especially whenever we're able to give in a crisis moment, in a moment of need, in someone's, you know, just sort of very specific, tangible thing, that's been the most impactful to me. It's given us sort of a pause, an ability to sort of empathize. You know, the saying that you'll walk, a mile in someone else's shoes is really not accurate, because we never really feel fully what someone else is going through, but we can empathize with them. We can give them our hearts. We can give them our time. And certainly at times, if we need to, we've given money. But I think that's the idea, is that the impact of those gifts, the impact of that kindness, really comes back on us, and it really gives us a boost of energy, excitement.
Yeah.
And I know that that's been something that you and I have both experienced over time.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the obstacles that we have heard in our journey of being generous and encouraging other people to be generous has become the fear of generosity.
Right.
And that sounds kind of like a weird thing to say, the fear of being generous. But what we have found, and what you can find literature on this and things like that, but sometimes people have a fear of being generous because they feel like they're going to be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. They feel like they don't really know what the funds are going to be used for. Sometimes rightfully so, because there's, big headlines that you find out funds were not used in the way that they were promoted as being used. And so that kind of actually hurts organizations like ours and churches and parachurch ministries and things like that, because when one group of people are doing something
right,
that kind of creates a cause for legitimate suspicion,
for sure,
then it kind of has the ripple effects. But I like that I've learned over the years, and we have a friend that has kind of reiterated this to us, but I've heard you say it many, many times, that If God is telling us to give towards something, that is us just being obedient and doing it. And ultimately, that's between us and God. Now, what the person is doing with those funds,
right,
if they're not necessarily being transparent and honest, then that's between them and God.
For sure.
But we can't just allow the fear of someone doing something wrong,
right,
prevent us from being generous.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, people are going to do the right things with the funds given.
Well, and that's the thing. I think the fear is, maybe a strong word, but the respect or the understanding of, wanting to know, where is my gift going to? Where's my kindness going to? You know, I think an act of true generosity really is an act of kindness without an expectation of return.
Yeah.
But, you know, as humans, as individuals, as people who have worked hard for what we have and worked hard for what we, you know, have earned, we want to know, okay, we don't want this to just be squandered or spent in a, you know, certainly not illegal or any other kind of immoral way. If it's our time, you know, time we talk about as being one of our biggest assets, and really one of the expenditures of our life that we don't really get back. And so when we spend our time volunteering or traveling with an organization or going into, you know, even if it's just going to spend time volunteering at a local charity or nonprofit, something like that. But if you give your time to someone and then you feel like that's, you know, there's a fear of vulnerability, there's a fear of being able to be taken advantage of, there's a fear of, you know, will this, you know, impact actually make a difference? And so I think the fear is somewhat healthy as long as it doesn't deter us or keep us from giving.
Right.
A lot of times what I figured out is, like you said, just by giving, it absolves you of that fear because you can give and you can say, okay, this is, you know, what I chose to do and decided to do, whether it's directed by our faith, as you said, or whether it's directed just by our feelings or our gut. I have always found that once the gift is done, once my time is spent, once my, you know, whatever the generosity has been given or doled out, I am sort of absolved of that fear or that trepidation because I'm just like, well, it's done. It's in someone else's hands at this point or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think partially.
And you've never looked for a refund, right?
I've never, ever. I mean, even if it's been something that I've given to in the past where I thought, whoa, like, you know, learned some new information or figured out something or, you know, maybe it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. There's certainly been times in which I've volunteered or given my time to, whether it be churches or other organizations, where I just thought, well, I could take those hours back and be happy, but certainly not with a monetary gift. I've never felt, you know, thankfully, but, you know, I've never really actually gone to through the process of feeling like, man, that was a waste.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, there's been times where I thought, well, maybe we could have used it somewhere else or done something else or whatever, but at the end of the day, what's given is done, and, you know, the good thing is that you can learn from the experience, you can learn from wisdom, but I never, ever want to get to the point where I start to close myself off or change who I am based on that fear, based on, you know, because sometimes those fears, like I said, can help if they're healthy and, you know, just kind of create interest or curiosity. You know, I ask more questions of where I give and who I give to. I try and be more diligent with my time and not just sort of volunteer to give my time everywhere. So I'm much more sort of, you know, I curate that time a little bit better. But I never want to be in a position where fear prohibits me from doing something good.
Yeah. There's this story in the book, The Meaning of Life, that was written by Wendy Mass. And it's this story, basically a conversation between a father and a son. And it says, "A fight is going on in the inside of me," said an old man to his son. "It is a terrible fight between two wolves. One wolf is evil. He is angry. He has envy. There's sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, and ego. The other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you." The son thought about it for a minute, and then he asked, "Which wolf will win?" The old man replied simply, "The one you feed."
Yes.
And so,
very good.
Feeding our fear can apply to many aspects of our life,
absolutely,
well beyond generosity. But it is true. We all have so many things inside of us. We have insecurities, we have fear, we have hopes, we have dreams, we have empathy, we have selfishness. All of these things do lie within us, but the ones that grow are the ones that we feed.
Yes, absolutely.
And like we said in some of our previous episodes, it gets easier to to give the more you do it, and it gets easier to show compassion the more you do it, and it gets easier to have empathy the more you practice it, because it's like a muscle
that you
get accustomed to actually growing.
Right. Well, and I think that's a perfect example of exactly what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, is are we going to feed that generosity muscle? Are we going to work it out? Are we going to, you know, continue to use that muscle, or will we let it atrophy?
Right.
And I think that's the idea of, you know, which one will win, which one will survive, which one will, you know, I can either feed my fears and my distrust or my, you know, the examples that I've seen in the past, or I can feed faith and I can feed excitement and empathy and compassion. And, you know, as you stated, it's like I've never once regretted or felt like, you know, I was taken advantage of or given over to any of those fears.
Yeah.
I've always just felt joyous and excited and, you know, reaped some of the side benefits of giving and being generous and things like that. So I think that's a perfect example to give in light of, especially like what we just talked about, the fears of doing this, you know, this thing.
Right. Yeah, and according to Forbes magazine, they did a survey of 3,000 adults, including 288 entrepreneurs, and this might be surprising. It was a little surprising to me to read this, but they found that millennials on average donate $13,654 a year to charity, compared to $6,200 annually from Gen Xers, and an average of $6,192 given annually on average by baby boomers. So that's kind of interesting, because in a lot of the circles that we run in, we're the only millennials in the group.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, we have definitely a wide spectrum of influences and people whom we spend time with and give our, you know, our time and effort towards. Across different generations, different age groups. Certainly within Connect Global, we have kind of an array and mix of people who are from different backgrounds and generations and faith, and not, you know, having, you know, different faiths. And, you know, to me, I think age, it's an interesting statistic that
we found.
Yeah, I
was going to say, it's not really, it doesn't apply to our personal experience.
Right, so that's what I was
going to say. So we haven't seen that. I mean, we've seen millennials be very generous.
Yes.
We've also seen every other generation be very generous.
So that's what I was going to
personally
kind of allude to, is the fact that because you and I have this array of people from, you know, Gen X all the way through the boomer set of, you know, what, you know, the societal culture of generational splits there. We have people who give from every generation,
yes,
every mark of that. And we've seen it all. We've seen, you know, very generous people in every one of those groups. And so I'm very excited, and, you know, it's a gift, and it's a, you know, a really cool thing to see so many people from so many different backgrounds and so many different age demographics give in such a generous way. Me, as a birthday, you know, my birthday coming up, gonna cross the threshold of 40 this year. I feel like I'm kind of right in the middle. I feel like, you know, we've got plenty of people who volunteer with us, give through Connect Global, spend their hard-earned time and money and efforts, that who are Gen Z, you know, the generation behind me, which sounds crazy because I always used to think, you know, I'm, you know, one of the youngest, you know, kind of doing some of this work, and I'm not anymore. You know, we've got people who are raising enormous amounts of funds for all types of causes on TikTok and through their, you know, very public efforts. And, you know, that's one of the things that report also talked about, was how generations look at giving differently. You know, boomers, Gen Xers, they don't necessarily want their name, you know, promoted or in lights. They want to just give. They also have the benefit of wisdom and experience. So some of those donors, like with the trust issue and with the fear issue, some of them have seen big charitable entities misuse funds or do bad things. So that some ways influences their giving.
Yeah.
Our generation, which I, you know, kind of eked into a millennial, you know, at the top end of that. But our generation is very generous, very giving. You know, we want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We don't want to give up our identity for that, but we do want to be a part of something and feel like our impact is moving the needle forward.
Yeah.
And now what's exciting is seeing Gen Z and then, you know, the following generations start coming up, where generosity for a lot of them is just second nature. It's not something that you're having to teach too much to, whether it's, you know, they want to take care of the planet, whether they want to, you know, see people, you know, equality and justice be seen for different, you know, people groups and different countries. You know, you see it all the time through social media and through different means, that, you know, they just care a whole lot.
Yeah.
And so they're going to want to find ways. We've got, you know, a bench of volunteers that help us with social media and help, you know, contribute to some of the writings and the Connection magazine and different things that we've had over the past couple of years. And most of them are within that Gen Z, you know, classification.
And people ages 4 to 84 going
have been
on mission,
going
trips,
on mission
with
trips with us.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm like, you know, I love knowing how generous future generations are becoming and already are.
Yeah.
It is a surprising number that this report found.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because it's almost double.
Yeah.
You know, the number's almost double what the previous generations are giving. And certainly is that, you know, this is a small segment. I know that the report that we're looking at is kind of a small segment of people being asked about it, but it is just interesting to know that there are trends. You know, there are people, I think we're coming back on another upswing of generosity, even with, as we stated, the fears of giving, the fears of recession, the fears of price hikes, the fears of inflation. I don't think, and I'm hoping, you know, for the sake of humanity, that those do not deter us that much. You know, I think it's wise to be safe and secure and make sure that, you know, we're not just sort of overspending in any way.
Right.
But I would hope that we would tighten our buckles in other ways, whether that be our own expenditures, our own living, our own way of you know, taking care of our needs versus wants, and that our generosity would stay up, that we would continue to find people, find churches, find businesses who want to continue being generous and being, you know, intentional with generosity, and that maybe we'll tighten up in other ways in which we've gotten lax over the last few years in our sort of spending and, you know, the more frivolous things. So I would hope that those are the ways in which people trend.
Definitely.
So we want to hear from you. We want to hear some stories. I know that we have talked about this. If you've listened to the other two episodes, we've asked, what are your stories of being generous? What are the times in which maybe you are the recipient of someone's direct generosity? What did that look like? Generosity is not about the size of the gift, but it's about the size of the heart behind the gift. And to me, I think that that really encompasses what we're trying to convey through these last couple of episodes, is that generosity doesn't have to be this great, huge, philanthropic, you know, endeavor. It can be a simple act of kindness, you know, and hopefully that kindness starts at home, starts with your spouse, starts with your kids, you know, and extends out to your work family, to the people who you do life with, and even strangers. Complete strangers can be a benefit of your generosity very easily. It doesn't take much, but it makes a huge impact. And so we encourage you to find someone this week to extol your generosity on, to give someone a kind smile, to give someone in need something that, you know, will change their life and help make them, you know, feel that impact. And because we know that giving and being generous and having a kind heart makes a difference, not only for you, but it can have a ripple effect that affects people for generations to come.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening and following along with this podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you for listening, tuning in. Again, if you want to contact us or have any questions or comments, you can send us an email at hello@connectglobal.org. You can also find a way in which to rate or comment on this podcast. depending on the platform that you're using. And we really appreciate you tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you again next Tuesday. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Have a great week.